With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Sun Sports Football Podcast, sponsored by William Hill. I'm Derek McGregor, joined by David Frail. David, are we happy that the winter break is just about at an end after 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think the players and the clubs and probably the fans as well were ready for it. It was a hectic December, it was a busy New Year period, but I think now, after a couple of weeks, I think everybody, obviously the Championship's still been going on in the lower leagues, but I think everybody's ready for the Premiership and the Scottish Cup to start back, Derek, so I think everybody's looking forward to the games this weekend. There's a few good ties coming up.
Both you and I, and indeed our other colleagues, have been taken out of our top flight comfort zone the last couple of weeks. I've been at Raith Rovers in Dumbarton, enjoyed it. Have you?
Yeah, I was at Raith Rovers Falkirk with yourself. Good game, quite impressed with Falkirk, not so much with Raith. And I was at Dunfermline St Mirren on Saturday. I thought Dunfermline should have won the game. They had a lot more chances. St Mirren fighting for their lives, but I would fear for them slightly. I don't think they score enough goals. They look like a team that's fighting relegation, in the sense that there's not a lot of confidence there, understandably. And I think, you know, it's a long way back for Jack Ross's team just now. I think they're just in that slump at the moment, and I would fear for them long term.
Scottish Cup weekend, the tournament, of course, sponsored by William Hill. Some good fixtures, some good you know, imaginative fixtures that get you thinking. The classic kind of romance of the cup. I think the one that stands out right away is Bonnyrigg Rose, McBookie.com East Super League side. They play Hibs at Tynecastle. Are the holders in danger here at all, David?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've seen this before with junior teams coming in. Lithgow Rose did really well last year, previous to that, Auchinleck Talbot did particularly well too, and I don't think they should be discounted, because Bonnyrigg Rose did eliminate Dumbarton, who are doing quite well in the Championship for a part-time team just now. So they eliminated them over two games in the last round. So I think Hibs, having just beaten Dumbarton 1-0, will be aware that Bonnyrigg have got nothing to lose. They're going out to make the most of their day. It's a big stadium, a big occasion. But I do think Hibs have got enough professionalism about them, enough quality about them, certainly, to go and do the job. I mean, I don't expect a 7-8-0 or anything like that, but I do think Hibs will win comfortably.
In terms of Scottish Cup upsets, if Bonnyrigg were to somehow win this fourth round tie, where would that rate for you among this competition's record of upset shocks?
It would surely be up there with the biggest of all time, I would imagine. The holders, Hibs, get out to a junior team. I don't think anything else would come close. So no, I mean, as I said, I don't think Neil Lennon will be dismissing Bonnyrigg by any stretch of imagination. You know, I do, you know, he's been in the receiving end of enough upsets in his time. He had a few bad ones with Celtic, and he lost to teams like, I mean, he played in the Clyde game, he was a manager, I think, for the Morton game. That was the League Cup. But I do think that Neil Lennon will make sure these players are up for it. And bear in mind as well, Hibs, I dare say they'll make a lot of changes, but Hibs have got a big squad, and Hibs players, the guys that have been on the bench in recent weeks, are all fighting for a place. You know, Hibs, you look at the Hibs squad, they've got 18, 19
it's
guys
incredible.
For the first team. I mean, they've got such a strong squad, and I think whoever comes in will be looking to put down a mark and try and stay in that team for the end of the season. So I don't think there'll be any complacency at all.
I mean, I saw their 1-0 win at Dumbarton on Saturday. I mean, big win, performance was mediocre, however, it was a kind of result that wins you titles. But the 18 that Hibs listed did not include Paul Hanlon, Dylan McGeoch. Remarkable strength and depth for the Championship. Nevertheless, is this the kind of game that Neil Lennon, indeed any manager in this kind of situation, is this the kind of game that you feel uncomfortable about? What if?
Well, maybe.
No matter the odds?
Yeah, but see, the fact it's at Tynecastle, I think it takes a lot of the risk away. See, if Hibs were having to go to Bonnyrigg Rose ground, you know, a tight junior pitch, fans right on top of you, and you know, it takes you way out of your comfort zone. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to Tynecastle to play the game. It's, you know, it's one of the best stadiums in the country. It's a good pitch. It's a place that Hibs I've been very, very familiar with over the year. Most of the players, I imagine all the players in Neil's team will have played there before, so I don't think that'll be an issue at all. To be honest with you, I think that the fact it's at Tynecastle takes a lot of the sort of upset, the chances of an upset away from this tie for me.
Of course, Hearts play on the Sunday. Do you envisage a lot of Jambos fans going to Tynecastle on Saturday cheer on Bonnyrigg?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't really know where a lot of allegiances lie in Bonnyrigg, in terms of, is it a Hearts town, is it a Hibs town, is it a mix of everything, I don't know. But I do imagine there will be Hearts fans, certainly all the Hearts fans will be cheering Bonnyrigg on, but you might get a few in the crowd as well.
I mean, Robbie Horn's side beat Newton Grange Star 3-0 at the weekend, a great confidence booster for them. But I see Robbie today's talking about how this tie coming up is a big distraction for them. But I mean, it's a wonderful occasion. This truly is what the Scottish Cup is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was a lot of kind of humming and hawing about junior clubs getting in, and people saying should they be getting this a few years ago when it all happened. But I think it's a great addition to the Scottish Cup. Why should they not? I mean, I think junior clubs have been very particular and very specific in the sense that they don't want a league structure, and that's fair enough because they've got a good thing going. You know, there's good crowds go to the junior games. They've got a Super League system, but I think allowing junior clubs to get into the Scottish Cup, you know, bridges that gap in terms of the pyramid system. So I think it's a good idea. I knew one of the guys from Lithgow Rose, easier for me to say, last year, and they went all the way to play Ross County away from home, and he just loved the experience of all the games and sports scene that night and everything, and just the whole atmosphere and what a run they went on. So I think it's great, and you know, I dare say Bonnyrigg Rose will be well organised, they'll have a lot of quality, they'll have fit guys. So I don't think they'll make it easier for Hibs, but I do expect Hibs to get through.
I mean, looking at the other ties, David, I mean, another one that jumps out to me, certainly more potential for a shock than the Bonnyrigg Rose Hibs game, Elgin, third in Division 2, at home to Inverness Kelly Thistle, bottom of the Premiership. That surely is a tie that Richie Foran would rather avoid.
Yeah, I mean, he spoke about a distraction for Bonnyrigg. I think this is a huge distraction for Inverness. Mm. Now, I get the idea, well, if you get a good Scottish Cup run and a couple of good results, it raises confidence, but I think right now Richie Foran's sole priority, and he's sole work over the last couple of weeks, he went on a break, is to get his team back on form in the Premier League. The Premiership. For me, the Scottish Cup doesn't matter to Inverness just now. In their predicament, you know, they really just need to start picking up points. So to go to Elgin, as you're saying, you know, Elgin are a decent team. I think they're third in League 2 just now. They're not far off. They're both in second. And, you know, by all accounts, they're a good team. I think a lot of their players are central based and they travel up. So they will fancy their chances at home. Definitely fancy their chances at home. And for Inverness, it is just a game where they probably don't really want just now.
I mean, of course, Cali Thistle won the tournament 2 years ago, but such is their confidence at the moment that there's going to be trepidation, any team they play just now.
Yeah, and they're a much changed team from then as well. If you look back, I dare say there'll be a few survivors, but if you look at guys like Ryan Christie, Graeme Shinney, James Vincent scored the winner, Marley Watkins, who was such a big player for them then, obviously the manager John Hughes is gone as well. It's a much changed team. I thought Inverness at that stage were a top six team. They were pushing there. They won the Scottish Cup, they got to another final year before. Inverness for me are one of the best teams in Scotland at the moment. Yeah, sorry, at that time. At the moment they aren't. They're far from it. They're going through a bit of a really tough period. Richie Foran's just grappling to try and get his best team, try and get new players in. And, you know, I think survival is the be all and end all for Inverness this year. Anything that happens in the Scottish Cup is a bonus, but at the moment it's all about the league.
Just anything that happens in the Scottish Cup is a bonus, but then defeat in terms of their relegation battle would be, you would have to think psychologically, another hammer blow for them.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what makes this so risky, you know, because, you know, are Inverness going to win the Scottish Cup? I don't think so. Is there a chance of embarrassment? Of course, I mean, confidence could be shot to bits if they lose at Elgin, so that's why I don't think Richie Foran will really be looking forward to this game.
The Cup sponsors, William Hill, of course, would love it if there's one or two shocks. I mean, don't we all? Because it makes for better storylines,
of course, yeah.
But it enhances the tournament. I mean, looking at the other ties, David, I mean, on the Sunday, Hearts go to Raith Rovers, and for Ian Cathro, it's not exactly been a fabulous start as Hearts manager. To be fair, we both saw Raith Rovers the other week. You know, it's not looking great for Raith Rovers, but in a one-off game, could they lift it to beat Hearts?
100%. I mean, I think Raith to me won't be in any danger of relegation or even the playoffs at that end, but I don't think they'll really bother the playoffs at the other end either in the Championship. I think Raith will just be a mid-table team in the Championship. So I dare say Gary Locke will have a point to prove as well up against his old team. There's a few ex-Hearts players in the side.
Well, apparently the Raith Rovers veteran Rudy Scatchell used to play for Hearts.
He's
generally not mentioned that much. What do you think Scatchell's commitment levels will be against Hearts, given the amount of times he gestures about the Scottish Cup final win over Hibs?
He'll get a good reception. I would never say that he wouldn't be giving it full. He will be giving it full. Of course he will. He's paid by Raith Rovers and he'll be getting out and giving it his all and hoping to beat Hearts. The loving will continue. I mean, we've seen it over the years. You saw Titus Road a couple of weeks ago when he gave the 5-1 salute. I commend he took 51 when he signed for Dundee United and clapped the Hearts fans when they were 3-0 down at Tynecastle. United were at that time. So Yeah, but I do think Hearts, he's one of several, Kevin McCarty, Ryan Stevenson, who will be up against a former club. And I do think those guys will be out to try and prove a point. It's a tough one for Ian Cathro in the sense that it's not the best of venues to be going to. It's quite, you know, the fans will make a bit of noise, and it's one for them as well. Well, as I said, they're not going to get relegated, they're not going to get promoted. The Scottish Cup for them is the big thing now. They'll be looking to get a run, and they'll be looking to put one over Hearts.
If Scatchell scores, whether it's a winner, whether it's a consolation effort, whatever, do you see him celebrate?
Well, he should celebrate. I don't like this whole, I'm not going to celebrate against my former club. You're employed by a club, you're paid by a club.
Mm.
Therefore, you should celebrate a goal. I don't get this, I used to play with this team 10 years ago, so I won't celebrate. Just celebrate the goal.
See this constant 5-1 gesturing. See, if I was his manager, David, I'd fine him for that. Because that as you maybe get an impression, mm-hmm. that annoys me intensely. You're away from Hearts. You know, he was at Dundee United and he did it. He Raith Rovers. No, not having it.
Oh, I get that. I dare say there will be a lot of Raith Rovers fans feel exactly the same. And it's up to Rudy Scatchell to show how committed he is, and I do think if he is in the team, he wasn't in the team against Falkirk, we saw them the other week, then he will be given his all. He must be given his all, surely. He's a professional footballer, after all.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Of course he is. For Martin United, go to Partick Thistle. And I'm like you, David, I agree with you in terms of the junior teams and Highland League teams. I think that's great. I think that adds to the competition. Great day out, for the North East side, who've had a bit of money put into them over the years. But Thistle, good run of form before the winter break.
Yeah, I like Thistle. I think Thistle are a good team. I think Alan Archibald's a good manager. And you know what I think Partick Thistle really, really need? A cup run. When was the last time Partick Thistle went a decent run at a semi-final or a final or something like that? I can't remember off the top of my head. It must be years and years.
I remember Partick Thistle playing Martin Neil Celtic mm-hmm. at Hampden in a Scottish Cup semi-final.
We're talking over 10 years, 13 years. I think Alan Archibald actually mentioned that at the start of the season. They would really like a cup run. I think for finance, I think for prestige, and I think just as a reward for how well they've done over the last couple of years to re-establish themselves as a Premiership side. I think Partick Thistle, I'd love to see them go all the way to Hampden. I really would.
I look at our leading sides, David. Rangers at home to Motherwell on the Saturday, Aberdeen at home to Stranraer, and of course Celtic having a way tie, Albion Rovers at Airdrie. Really straightforward for those things. Obviously Rangers would have the tougher tie of those I've mentioned.
I think
you're expecting the
Motherwell, it depends on what Motherwell turns up. I've seen Motherwell and they've been absolutely magnificent. Louis Moult, Scott McDonald, one of the best partnerships in the league. Carl McHugh coming back to fitness, a big boost for them as well. And they've got some real talent about their side. It just depends what Motherwell turns up, as I said, because they blow so hot and cold. One week you watch them and you think this is one of the best teams in the league. The next thing you think, they're destined for the drop. But I think if Motherwell get their players fit, if they get McDonald and Moult going, I think they can cause Rangers problems. For Rangers, it's a big one again. I think a Scottish Cup run is really important for Rangers again, just in terms of finance, in terms of prestige, as we talked about. And also probably a point to prove after last year, in the sense that Rangers did so well to beat Dundee, beat Celtic to get to the final, and then let themselves down against Hibs, really. So I think it's a big one for Rangers, but Motherwell are dangerous opponents.
Rangers had built up good momentum going into the Hogmanay derby against Celtic. Just prior to that, they'd slipped up against St Johnstone, then have lost to Celtic. So suddenly they're in a bit of a kind of negative zone again. And of course, they've gone to Leipzig on Sunday, get hammered 4-0. What place are Rangers at the moment going into this cup tie, do you think?
I agree with you. I think the momentum was building, but then, as you say, they dropped 5 points in 2 games before the break. And the Leipzig game, I don't think anybody was really surprised at Leipzig, the second best team in the Bundesliga right now, beat Rangers comfortably. I mean, I think Mark Warburton, in fairness to him, as he said himself, he could have gone down south and, you know, taken a game against Spurs on the 23s or something like that, just to give these players a run out. Instead, they accepted the challenge. I don't know if there was money involved, I don't know. But they were always likely to get a doing, because Red Bull Leipzig are a good team who have spent a lot of money. I think long term, Rangers players will learn from the experience. I think that's where Rangers want to be, and it shows the sort of the distance they've still got to go. In the short term, does it do any good for the confidence? Probably not, because it's another game that they've not won and they've got a bit of a doing. But it's the cup. I think with Emerson Heidman in, John Terrell in, I think Rangers should, over the course of the rest of the season, should improve, because I think those guys will become first picks. Is it a bit early to chuck them in a Scottish Cup tie? Ibrox, that would be my worry for those two players. You know, are they ready just to go straight in? I mean, they've not really had much football this season. Up against Keith Lasley, Carroll McHugh, you know, guys like that, young Cadden from Motherwell, who'll just be getting, you know, bringed in, you know, right from the start. You know, these guys aren't going to stand in ceremony. I mean, these guys are fully fit and have been playing. So I don't know if Mark Warburton would throw them in. So he's got a few issues to ponder, I think.
I mean, John Terrell has been loaned from Arsenal, but of course he has come direct from another loan spell in La Liga, but has only played 7-8 games, handful of games. Emerson Heidman has come from Bournemouth, but again, handful of games. Very talented boys, but as you say, they're not exactly kind of battle-hardened at the moment.
Yeah, and that's my point. So I wonder whether for this game, because the Scottish Cup is so important, because the last thing Mark Warburton wants is even a replay. You know, really, you know, elimination would be bad. But
pile the pressure on him right away.
Would pile the pressure. So I wonder whether he just reverts to, in the middle of the park especially. I mean, Joe Garner's obviously out, but if he just goes for Holt, Halliday and Windass as his three, long term, I don't think that will be the three for the rest of the season. I think Heidman and Terrell will come in, but I just wonder where he goes with those three, just to try and kind of err on the side of caution this weekend.
I must admit, I respected Mark Warburton for taking the Leipzig game. You make the good point. It could have been very easily just to have taken such a soft fixture so they could win 5-6-0, but he's taking the challenge, knowing fine well that they could end up with a doing. But he's obviously sought as a chance for his players to get a taste of it again, of the big time, and maybe a wee incentive if indeed they make the Europa League. Celtic have returned from what would appear to be a very good 8-9 days out in Dubai. You know, Brendan Rodgers is making the headlines that despite their remarkable start to the season, they're 24 games unbeaten, 19 points ahead in the top flight, and yet, despite all that, he's insisting they've got to improve, they've got to keep on rising the bar. What do you make of that? You're surprised, or is that what you expect?
No, I'm not surprised, because I think it's been such a hectic schedule for Celtic since, I think it was June the 20th when Celtic came back. Between June the 20th and December the 31st, if you include pre-season friendlies and everything, Celtic played 44 games. Brendan Rodgers spoke about this just before the Rangers game. They played 44 games in total, which is more than a lot of clubs will play in an entire season. Add in international games for guys, you know, you look at guys like Tom Rogic, who he's a Geary, Gamboa, Michael Lustig, some of these guys have probably played nearly 50 games already. But what that leads to is very, very little coaching time. You know, Brendan Rodgers, when he was at Liverpool, a lot of people said that a lot of his success in that season when they almost won the league was that Liverpool weren't in Europe that year. They had no Champions League, no Europa League, so he had so much time to coach and work in the training ground and working systems and working this and working that, that you could actually see come the Saturday that Liverpool were ready, so much better prepared than the other teams, who were going from game to game and basically just flying by the seat of their pants. So I think the last, you know, these 2 weeks, it gave the players a week off. It just allowed Brendan Rodgers to actually get some coaching time that he never really got towards the start of the season, because there were so many games. And even December, I think Celtic played 9 games in December alone. So the last thing these guys needed was another friendly or something. What they needed was a holiday, a bit of training, and then he'll be back to normal this week. But by all accounts, I think Dubai's been quite relaxed. I think players have worked hard. I think they've done double sessions some days. I don't think it's been very heavy, but it's mostly been tactical based. It's mostly been Brendan Rodgers trying to get his ideas across. And I don't think he started, I've said this before in the podcast, he's hardly signed any players that are regular starters. Dembele and Sinclair apart, I don't think he's been able to get his message across, just down to time of coaching. So I do expect a lot more from Brendan Rodgers Celtic in terms of style and everything going forward. In terms of results, I don't really think they can do any more. They've only dropped 2 points all season, they've won the League Cup and they qualify for the Champions League. But I do think over time, over the next 12 months, you'll see a different Celtic evolve, and probably a better Celtic evolve.
Now that they're back from Dubai, do you now expect Brendan Rodgers also to step up his transfer window shopping? Would you expect to within the next few days, maybe the next week or so, another signing to come in?
Yeah, I do think before the end of the transfer window we'll sign at least one more player, but I think a lot more will go out. I think getting...
Who are you expecting to see leave?
I think Nadir Chifchi will go, I think Effie Ambrose will go, I think Dedrick Boyata will probably go, Chris Commons, I'm trying to think who
Scott
else.
Allen.
Scott Allen will go. Would Nir Beaton go? I think if there's a bid, I think it's clear Nir Beaton isn't going to be a first choice. I think Nir Beaton is going from being Celtic's first choice next to Scott Brown to probably fourth or fifth choice. So I think he would be free to go as well. I'm saying free to go. I think Celtic will still want a bit of money for him, a fair bit of money for him, but I think he'll be allowed to go. So I think you could easily see six or seven players leave Celtic.
David, you've been ahead of the game for Sun Sport in terms of Nir Beaton's future. You know, you've reported in the interest in Nir Beaton first ahead of the others. In terms of Beaton emerging from this transfer window, still a Celtic player, is it 50-50? Or is your gut feeling is that there's a very strong likelihood that he's going to leave?
I think there'll be clubs in for him, and I don't think Celtic will be too... I think Celtic have got a price, a valuation, and I do think they'll want a couple of £1 million at the very least for him. This was a guy that was valued... People are valuing him at £10 million, £6 million even in the summer. I just don't think he fits in. I just think if you look at Brendan Rodgers, what he wants from his midfield, he wants midfielders that are mobile, athletic, can press people, and you know, creative as well, because he's got Scott Brown, he's now got Kouassi to play that sort of holding role and maybe not venture as far forward. See his other two guys, his other three guys, he wants guys to be bombing on, he wants guys to be scoring goals, getting in about people. Nir Beaton is
a nice
footballer. He's a lovely footballer, very tidy, and seeing the right system, that sort of 4-2-3-1 system, he's a good player to have because he can dictate games at times. But Brendan Rodgers is veering away from that. You know, he wants athletic guys. He wants guys that can really, really get about the pitch. And that's not Nir Beaton's strength. Nir Beaton, you never really see Nir Beaton. It's probably helped him in the sense to get to where he is, because he's very composed and very kind of graceful at times. But he doesn't really run about. And I don't think that's up Brendan Rodgers' street as well. And I think it's just a simple... I don't think there's not been a fallout or anything. I think he just doesn't really fit into his plans. And I think if there's a club comes forward with £2 million, £2.5 million, I think he'll go.
Well, he cost, what, £700,000, I think, from the Israeli side, FC Ashdod, about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. Do you think a fee of £2 or £3 million would be right? Would that be one that Celtic should take?
Yeah, I think so, because this happens. Managers come in, they've got different ideas. Managers want different style of players. And I think as well, you also need to look at the impact Brendan Rodgers had in Scott Brown. You know, maybe people would have thought before the start of the season, if Brendan Rodgers was going to go to a 4-3-3, then Nir Beaton would have been the best man to play that sort of holding role. But Scott Brown has been the best man, because Scott Brown's been one of Celtic's best players, and he's really, really come on. And if you're signing Kouassi as well, who's a specialised player in that position, but is also younger, more athletic, more kind of dynamic, then... you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to realise that Nir Beaton isn't going to fit in there. And I don't think Nir Beaton, at his stage of his career, will be happy just to sit on the bench and not even maybe make the bench.
And I think, in fairness to Beaton, I mean, over the piece, looking at what he cost and looking at what he's given back for Celtic, he's been a good signing, but it just has that feel about it. It's possibly a good time for the club and a good time for the player to move on, a la like Stefan Johansson.
Yeah, 100%. And that was the thing as well. And the difference with Nir Beaton is he's still got a contract, I think, for another 2.5 years, maybe 2020, I think it runs out. So, therefore, he's maybe more of an asset to Celtic than Johansson was, because Johansson was running down his time. But Celtic still get maybe £2 million for Stefan Johansson. Nir Beaton is an Israeli international. He's a regular. I know he had a bit of fallout with the manager, but he's a regular. He's played at Champions League, Europa League level for Celtic. So he's got a lot of experience. He does have a lot of experience. And I do think there'll be clubs in Spain and in England interested in him, and I do expect before the end of the transfer window to be interesting. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's one of several Celtic players that will leave.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by David Freo, my colleague. Two other clubs, David, of particular interest, I think, this transfer window. We look at Aberdeen, Johnny Hayes. I think Aberdeen bracing themselves for a second Cardiff City bid for Johnny Hayes. They've already had a £500,000 bid turned back, which I'd probably say, I don't know how you feel about it, but £500,000 I would think would be buttons for Johnny Hayes. But if Cardiff came in with a bid approaching £1 million, maybe even 800 onwards, if you were an Aberdeen's board, how would you respond to that?
I think I agree with £500,000 for Johnny Hayes is buttons. I mean, to me it's derisory. Mm. And this is a guy, and this is something that I think Scottish clubs really need to con onto. And I know Celtic have tried to make a statement in terms of Moussa Dembele about this. Why should Scottish clubs just sell their best players for nothing? I'm not saying nothing, but why should they take a a lower price. You know, Johnny Hayes is in the Ireland squad. Johnny Hayes has been one of the best players in Scottish football. Johnny Hayes has done it in big games, scored big goals at big times. He's Aberdeen's best player. He's got 18 months left in his contract, I think, at the very least.
What would you be thinking? £1 million minimum?
I think £1 million. See, in this day and age,
with the money
that's floating about English football, and some of the prices you see going from the Championship to the Premier League in England, and even League One to the Championship in England, why should Aberdeen accept £500,000 for Johnny Hayes?
Yep.
That's just, to me, that is insulting. It is insulting. Johnny Hayes is a really good player, an international player, and you've got £500,000 bids? No, not for me. I think Aberdeen should try and get at least £1 million for Johnny Hayes.
I mean, the Cardiff manager, Neil Warnock, is always very quick to pay respect to Scottish football, but it's almost as if he's patronising Aberdeen with it. You know, here's £500,000, surely that... He knows what he's doing, Neil Warnock, but never a chance of that being accepted.
No, I don't think so.
Should it be?
No, but and this is the thing, right? I'm not saying Johnny Hayes would go down and play in the Premier League in England. I'm not saying he would go and get into a Newcastle team, who are one of the better teams in that league. But you try to tell me that Johnny Hayes couldn't get a game with, I don't know, Derby or
teams
like that.
You look at Brighton,
Sheffield Wednesday, Brighton. I mean, he's more than good enough to go there. More than good enough. So I think Aberdeen are well within their rights to stand firm in this one. I think he's their best player. Why would you accept that sort of bid for your best player? To me, it doesn't make sense. And to me, if you look at guys like James Maddison, even the fee Norwich paid Coventry for him, a couple of million maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, James Maddison has come up here and done well, but is James Maddison been more influential than Johnny Hayes? Not at all. Johnny Hayes is still the main man. He's the go-to guy for Aberdeen. So for me, I think Aberdeen should stand their ground. I think all Scottish clubs should start doing this as well. Whether it's Dembele for 20, 30 million or Johnny Hayes for half a million to a million, I think you need to stand their ground and need to say to English clubs, the days have gone that you're going to come up here and get our players for a pittance.
The other club that's particularly intriguing is Hearts, David. Obviously, they're trying to sign Johnny Hayes' teammate now and again, but it's now emerged they've got an interest in bringing back Christoph Berra, who is in the last 6 months of his contract at Ipswich Town. Would he be a good signing for Hearts?
100%. I think Christoph Berra, for Scotland, I've never been convinced that he's Scotland class. I genuinely haven't. I think he's a good, big, honest player who's carved out a great career for himself. He was very good at Hearts, a very kind of influential player at Hearts. He's gone down to England. Mick McCarthy loves him. He's done well for Ipswich. He's won a lot of caps for Scotland, Christoph Berra, and I don't think he's ever really let Scotland down. I've just never been convinced that he's really good enough to be Scotland's centre-half, his main centre-half. But he played against England in the last game. Did okay, he was fine. I mean, Scotland lost pretty comprehensively, but he was fine. And for me, if Christoph Berra is available and he is willing to come back for Scotland, I don't know if it's family reasons, whatever, then it wouldn't just be Hearts that would be interested in him. For me, Rangers could do a lot worse, and I think Aberdeen could do a lot worse as well. So if he's coming back and there's a nominal fee involved, I think all three of those teams, all the teams that are sort of vying for second place just now, should be interested in him.
David, as always, grateful for your opinions and your analysis. Thanks very much.